Please stand for a prayer. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Lord, grant that I may always allow myself to be guided by Thee, always follow Thy plans, and perfectly accomplish Thy holy will. Grant that in all things great and small, I may do whatever You require of me, today and all the days of my life. Help me to respond to the slightest promptings of Thy grace, so that I may be Thy trustworthy instrument for Thy honor. May Thy will be done in time and in eternity, by me, in me, and through me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Before my lecture, Father Anaya and Sister Mary Dominica told me I could talk to you briefly about some catechetical pre-Vatican II pop-up books I brought from California. There's only, I think, two boxes left. And I had another one here I was going to show you, and then Father Anaya wanted it. So when I was teaching him third and fourth grade, we used those same books. They're wonderful teaching tools for everyone. The 17-book set was approved by Pope Pius XII and received the imprimatur. The Salesians, the order established by St. John Bosco, composed this set of 17 books to summarize the catechism in colorful pictures and inspiring stories. There are only a few sets left because they're extremely rare. You can, with great difficulty, find a few sets on the internet, and the prices vary from $350 to $500 to up to $1,700. In other words, $100 per book, if you can find them. So I have just a few sets left on the table outside, and I'm offering them for only $10 per book, but you have to purchase the whole set. It's only $170. And when they're gone, they're gone. Bishop Pivoronis, we had a priest meeting yesterday, and a meeting with the nuns, and I had it out there, and he has a set in Omaha, but he bought the other set. And then just lastly, before I begin, we just finished, my twin brother and I, What's Happened in the Catholic Church, the 2025 edition. This is the best book we've ever written together. It's smaller than, they kept getting bigger and bigger. This got more manageable. And there's color pictures in here. It's smaller than the other books, but even better. And I wrote the first half of the book. He wrote the second half. And then afterwards, they're available in the bookstore right now. And then after those are sold out, they're available at St. Joseph's Media. And then I'll sign them if anyone wanted to after this talk. And then finally, I first read St. Louis Marie de Montfort's book, True Devotion to Mary, when I was 11 and made my total consecration. I knew this consecration to Jesus through Mary is very important, but some things were very difficult to understand. Sister Mary Amatora's book, The Queen's Way, helped to clarify things. For the past 38 years of my priesthood, I've recommended total consecration to many people, and most have encountered the same difficulties I experienced. As director of the confraternity, I simply explained True Devotion to Mary in 10 articles in our magazine, The Reign of Mary. And then I just completed a book under this title. It'll be printed on October 17th. It'll be available from Mary Immaculate Queen Center and St. Joseph's Media after it's printed. So this lecture is a brief summary of the book. And then if you're interested, there's a sign-up sheet if you're interested in it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, total consecration to Jesus through Mary, as described by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, is not merely another spiritual exercise to be added to those you already have. It's rather a way of life that embraces all our devotions and all our prayers, all that we are and all that we have, past, present, and future. It's a generous and loving way to Jesus through Mary. True devotion to Mary is based on Our Lady's role as mother, queen, and mediatrix. This devotion consists first in a total consecration of oneself to Our Lady in order to belong completely to Christ through her. This consecration is to be renewed from time to time. Secondly, it consists in the habitual attitude by which we live in complete dependence on Mary, after the example of our Lord at Nazareth. Many will be quick to say, oh yes, I've heard of that, but this is why it's considered a secret, because it's pursued and lived by so few. This devotion is to be practiced in the ordinary course of our life, as well as in our most important actions, only when steadily persevered in and not when merely tried for a few weeks shall we be able to judge of its excellence and know its fruit. It's necessary to remove all hindrances to this devotion, namely sin and all secret affection for what is sinful. St. Louis de Montfort stated, beware then of remaining inactive while possessing my secret. It would turn into a poison and be your condemnation. However, if you live your total consecration, you'll derive immense spiritual blessings. In 1851, Father Faber described the last age of the church. He said, Antichrist doctrine will be an apparent contradiction of no religion, yet a new religion, the conciliar church. There'll be hardly any mass, the majority of Christians will apostatize, but the church will not be destroyed because of Our Lady's saints, who St. Louis Marie de Montfort described as being greater than ever. Father Faber was characterizing those who make their total consecration to Jesus through Mary. In these perilous times, God has provided this spiritual secret to help souls advance in holiness and to persevere amid so many dangers and temptations. Consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is an essential part of the message of Fatima. Sister Lucia said that the consecration, according to St. Louis Marie de Montfort, was precisely the offering Our Lady requested. Of all the practices of devotion to Our Lady, this is one that's above all others. It's all-inclusive because it includes a total consecration, ridding the soul of self-love, making it more receptive to God's grace, and uniting it more easily and perfectly to God. Total consecration is an act of religion towards God. By it, we acknowledge God's supreme dominion. It's an act of humility, for by it we acknowledge our nothingness and our helplessness. It's an act of confiding love, for love consists in the gift of self. And to give oneself entirely and unreservedly presupposes absolute trust and living faith. My dearly beloved in Christ, our spiritual journey is much like being in an old mansion that has a series of mazes leading to only one way out. Pursuing each individual path, we'll find many obstacles and difficulties confront us. Eventually, following the guidance of the church and the graces of her sacraments, we'll finally find our way out to freedom. The way, however, will be difficult. What so many do not realize is there's a secret, simple, straightforward passage. A passage they do not notice or choose to ignore. It is the path of Mary. At first it may appear dark and overwhelming, but she's there to take one by the hand as her beloved child. Soon it becomes a bright and happy path, for we're there hand in hand with our loving mother, fearing nothing because she is guiding us. This path, when followed consistently and with confidence, quickly leads to freedom and happiness of a closer union with God in this life and ultimately heaven. St. Louis's book, True Devotion to Mary, explains how to make and live this consecration to Our Lady. Since it contains some deep theology, it should be read often, slowly, and prayerfully. Other recommended books are the Secret of Mary, the Friends of the Cross, the Secret of the Rosary, God alone, the Path of Mary, the Queen's Way, and the Reign of Jesus through Mary. In order to improve your devotion to Our Lady, you must frequently read and study some of this literature. Anything worth having is worth working for. To read and study true devotion literature is necessary so that by the grace of God you maybe understand it. You'll be richly rewarded for your time and effort that you put in to your reading. St. Louis said that total consecration consists in giving oneself completely to Mary and through her to Jesus as her slave of love. Father Adolf Tankery has written, "Let no one be shocked at the word slave, which today seems so repugnant to us, but which has no such evil meaning as explained by St. Louis. A mere servant receives wages and is free to quit his master's service. He gives his labor only, not his person, nor his rights, nor his goods. A slave, however, freely agrees to work without wages, entrusting to the master that gives him food and shelter, hands himself over to him forever with all that he is and has, in order to live in entire dependence on the master in a spirit of love." The Catechism of True Devotion to Mary states, why does St. Louis de Montfort tell us to be slaves of Jesus and Mary when we should be their loving children? St. Louis calls his devotion the holy slavery of love. By it, we are loving children of Jesus and Mary, and more besides. To bring out that we are children of Mary, he uses the word love, and to show that we are to exceed the duty imposed on even loving children, he uses the word slave. It's the only term that we have to express this idea of complete surrender. Our Lord took the form of a slave of love for us, and Our Lady called herself the handmaid of the Lord. St. Paul found his honor in being a slave of Jesus Christ. St. Paul has written, "Do you not know that your members are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought at a great price. Therefore, we belong to Jesus and Mary because we were purchased by our Lord's precious blood." According to the Catechism of the Council of Trent, we are under the obligation of devoting and consecrating ourselves forever like faithful servants to our Redeemer. Devotion to Mary is necessary because she's the mediatrix of all graces. Through his sufferings and death, our Lord merited the graces needed for salvation. One might say that Christ put all these graces into a vault and gave the keys to his beloved mother to distribute to souls. Some may try to become a saint using God's grace, but relying on their own prudence and guidance. Soon, they're confronted with many difficulties and are tempted to give up. It's something like the story of the travelers who set out on a mountain trip to reach the beautiful high peak. The travelers have read books which tell them how to get there. They take with them maps on which all the roads are marked and long poles to help them walk better, and plenty of food and water to keep them strong. They have everything with them when they start out, but they do not take a guide, someone who lives in that section, who knows all the roads and can show them the way without trouble. At the beginning of the trip, everything is fine because the road is easy. The travelers are happy and they sing as they climb. After a little while, they get mixed up. They come across many paths. They're not sure which one to take. Then a fog comes, which covers the mountain and hides all the roads. What are they going to do? Should they stop or keep walking? Not sure which way they're going. They've stopped singing now. They're sorry they did not take a guide along. If a guide had been with them, they would be at the top of the mountain now, looking over the beautiful country. It's the same with those who wish to arrive at holiness. Very soon they find out that the road is long and hard and fearful, so they look for a guide. God has given us a special guide on this road to holiness. There was someone who knows this road very well, one who has gone every inch of the way and has also led many other souls to holiness. This guide is his very own mother. She's the most perfect, the most loving, the sweetest mother that ever lived. She's a mother that God made especially for himself and for us. She knows the road to holiness so well because she is more holy than all the angels and saints put together. How wonderful it is to be carried in her arms or to hold her hand as we walk with her and look into her beautiful face. She will protect, guide, and help us if we trust and frequently turn to her. To put it more directly, we give Our Lady our body and our material things, all that belongs to us, both interior and exterior, and the value of all our good actions, past, present, and future. More importantly, we give her our own soul, which is in the principle in us by which we live, move, and exist. Total consecration to Jesus and Mary is described by St. Louis as a perfect renewal of our baptismal vows. Before baptism, we are slaves of the devil due to original sin. When we're baptized, we publicly renounce Satan, his pomps, and his works, either by our sponsor or by our own voice. We choose Christ as our Lord and become his loving slaves. By our act of total consecration, we renew these vows, renouncing the devil, the world, sin, and self, and give ourselves entirely to Jesus through Mary. The slavery of the will is glorious to God and beneficial to our soul. Knowing how much God loves us, we offer ourselves completely and entirely into God's hands to do with us whatever he wishes. When we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, according to St. Louis, we set ourselves aside for Our Lady to use as she wills, how, and in the manner she wills. St. Louis has written that there are five characteristics of true devotion to Mary. True devotion to Our Lady is interior. That is, it comes from the mind and the heart. It flows from the esteem we have for her, the high idea we have formed of her greatness and the love we have for her. It is tender, that is full of confidence in her, like a child's confidence in his loving mother. This confidence makes us all have recourse to her in all its body and bodily and mentally necessities, with much simplicity, trust, and tenderness. It implores the good of its aid of its good mother at all times, in all places, and about all things, in its doubts that it may be enlightened, in its wanderings that may be brought into the right path, in its temptations that it may be supported, in its weaknesses that it may be strengthened, in its falls that it may be lifted up, in its discouragements that it may be cheered, in its scruples that they may be taken away, in the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life that it may be consoled under them. True devotion to Our Lady is holy. That is to say, it leads a soul to avoid sin and imitate the virtues of the Blessed Virgin. True devotion to Our Lady is constant. It confirms the soul in good and does not let it easily abandon its spiritual exercises. It's courageous in opposing the world's and its fashions and maxims, the flesh and its passions, and the devil and his temptations. So that a person truly devout to our Blessed Lady is neither changeable, irritable, scrupulous, nor timid. It's not that such a person does not fall or change sometimes in the sensible feeling of devotion, but when he falls, he rises again by stretching out his hand to his good mother. Lastly, true devotion to Our Lady is disinterested. That is to say, it inspires the soul not to seek itself, but God alone and his holy mother. A true client of Mary does not serve that august queen from a spirit of lucre and interest, nor for his own good, whether temporal or spiritual, eternal or corporal, but exclusively because she deserves to be served, and God alone in her. He does not love Mary because she obtains favors for him or because he hopes she will, but solely because she's so worthy of love. My dearly beloved in Christ, when we give ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary, we offer our good works to them. Our good works have a satisfactory value and a meritorious value. After we make our total consecration, we cannot dispose of any of these ourselves because we've given them all to Mary. All our prayers, all our sufferings, all our penances, all we do, we give to our Blessed Mother. The part of our good works that satisfies for sin, Our Lady can give to whom she wishes. Since she knows God's will perfectly, Mary will use them wherever they're most needed, and for God's glory. For example, a deathbed conversion, relief of the poor souls in purgatory, etc. Since our prayers and the satisfactory value of our good works have been given to Our Lady, she distributes them to those who need help. Their value is magnified 1,000-fold by her merits, making them more efficacious. St. Louis tells us that if we faithfully practice this devotion, we can deliver many souls from purgatory and convert many sinners, even though we're only fulfilling the ordinary duties in our state and life. Some people keep some of their valuable items and important documents in a safety deposit box to protect them from fire and theft. God has given us the Blessed Virgin Mary to be our spiritual safety deposit box, the safest place to store our graces, merits, and virtues is in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She will guard, enrich, and enlarge our merits and keep them safe for us. Even though we've given everything to Our Lady, this does not prevent us from praying for anyone, living or dead, especially our parents, relatives, friends, and benefactors. Jesus and Mary will assist them and care for them, either through our prayers or by other ways known to them. After making our consecration, our prayers for our loved ones will be more likely to be heard because we'll be praying with more humility, confidence, and devotion. In addition, since we entrust our satisfactions to Our Lady to apply as she determines, we can trust that we will not have to suffer long in purgatory because Almighty God and the Blessed Virgin are never surpassed in love and generosity. My dearly beloved in Christ, the only purpose of true devotion to Mary is to unite the soul more closely to God. According to St. Louis, it's an easy way because of the special graces of the Holy Ghost. When we encounter difficulties, Our Lady is there to help us. She will lighten our crosses and enable us to bear them bravely. Total consecration is a short road because it leads us directly to God in little time. We don't take any detours. St. Louis has written, "We make more progress in a brief period of submission to and dependence on Mary than in whole years in following our own will and relying upon ourselves." It's a perfect road because it's the same road chosen by Christ to come to us in order to redeem mankind. It's a secure road that conducts us safely to eternal life. In his book, True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis says that this practice is so ancient that we cannot fix precisely the date of its beginnings. In the early church, Mary guided the apostles, disciples, and early Christians and helped them in everything. They turned to her for advice, strength, and consolation. St. Louis gives examples of those who practiced this devotion from the 7th century and afterwards. Many sovereign pontiffs have approved or practiced this devotion, including Pope Pius IX, Pope Leo XIII, Pope St. Pius X, Pope Benedict XV, Pope Pius XI, and Pope Pius XII. The grace of final perseverance is the grace of a good death. This is the greatest and most necessary of all graces. St. Alphonsus de Liguori stated, "A devout servant of Mary will never perish. The Blessed Virgin Mary will keep on the road of virtue those who remain humble, prayerful, and docile to her maternal care. Through her guidance, intercession, and assistance, she will help us persevere to the end." My dearly beloved in Christ, our Heavenly Mother's love for each individual soul is greater than we can imagine. Now suppose that we can unite in the heart of one mother all the love that all mothers from the beginning of the world have had for their children. That makes billions and billions of mothers. What a big heart that would have. It would be a burning furnace of love. That's true, but if you put that heart besides that of the Blessed Virgin, it'll appear to you as a little candle beside the sun. So great is the love of the Blessed Virgin. As a loving mother, Our Lady also helps us to overcome the obstacles to union with God, especially our self-love, our self-will, and attachment to material things. She lovingly strips us of our faults and replaces them with virtues. When we're truly sorry for our sins, our Heavenly Mother asks our pardon from God. The Blessed Virgin Mary cares for and provides for the welfare of our soul and body. As the best of all mothers, she gives everything we need. Since Our Lady is the mediatrix of all graces, she gives many special graces to her children and slaves. She teaches them how to receive the blessings of God and avoid the snares of the devil. St. Bernard has written, "If you follow her, you cannot wander from the road." Our Lady's continuous intercession with God for us is her greatest act of goodness and love on our behalf. Her intercession on behalf of her devout slaves is threefold. First, she intercedes for them with her divine Son, appeasing him by her prayers. Second, Our Lady unites their souls closely to God. And thirdly, the Blessed Virgin Mary keeps them in the state of grace and obtains for them the grace of final perseverance and keeps their union with God unshaken. My dearly beloved in Christ, the practice of true devotion to Mary helps us to attain a true knowledge of self and to empty ourselves of everything that's bad within us. The spiritual life is founded on humility and the love of God. Through the light given by the Holy Ghost, souls clearly see their faults, sins, and weaknesses. Christ said that without the grace of God, people are incapable of doing anything good. Since God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, Our Lady imparts to us a share in her profound humility, whereby we learn to despise and mistrust ourselves. As a result, we advance in humility, a virtue so difficult to practice, yet so necessary for our salvation. As children of the wisest and most loving of all mothers, we will experience great freedom in our interior life. True devotion to Mary will cause us to have total trust in God, help us to avoid panic and extreme thoughts. When we faithfully practice our total consecration, our relationship with God will be primarily motivated by love rather than fear. When we fall into sin, we will ask God's pardon, humble ourselves, and return to Him without discouragement. St. Louis says that saints are formed and molded by Our Lady. This means that their souls are gradually transformed by her into the likeness of Christ. By the practice of total consecration, we do not trust in our own skill, but abandon ourselves to the mold of Mary. Objects cast into a mold must be pliable. Therefore, our sins and selfishness must be melted down. In addition, our will must be made conformable to God's will. Those who use other practices to form Christ in themselves may be compared to sculptors who are trying to make an image of our Lord. This method requires a great deal of time and effort. Sometimes they make a very poor representation because they're relying so much on their own efforts, limited knowledge, or lack of skill. By this devotion, we act by, with, in, and for Mary, especially in our prayers and good works. As a result, we practice great humility in our relationship to God, who is highly glorified thereby. Since we offer everything to God through Mary, she gives our good works an admirable splendor and beauty. In addition, she offers them herself to her divine Son, whereby God is more glorified than if we offered them to Christ ourselves. Finally, when we praise, love, honor, or give anything to Mary, it is God who is loved, God who is glorified, and it's to God that we give through Mary and in Mary. In his book, True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis describes a 33-day program of spiritual practices, prayers, and readings to prepare the soul for its total consecration to Jesus through Mary. The first 12 days are spent renouncing the spirit of the world, which is contrary to the spirit of Christ. This is followed by 3 7-day periods spent in acquiring a knowledge of self, a knowledge of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, those who are making their consecration should go to confession and Holy Communion with the intention of giving themselves to Jesus Christ as slaves of love by the hands of Mary. After Holy Communion, which they should try to make in union with Mary, they should recite the formula of their consecration. On that day, a person should offer something as an act of tribute and love to the Blessed Virgin. For example, a person could light a vigil candle, fast, perform an act of mortification, or give alms according to one's ability. This offering is a sign of servitude and dependence upon our Blessed Mother. If offered with humble love, Jesus and Mary will be pleased with the token or sign of our holy slavery. St. Louis has written, once a year at least, they should renew the same consecration. They should also once a day renew all they have done with these few words, I am all thine, and all that I have is thine, O most loving Jesus, through Mary, thy most holy mother. This should be recited daily with the morning offering. Union with Mary, as described by St. Louis, requires first the removal of obstacles to grace, sin, and its occasions. Before we perform our actions, we should renounce ourselves, unite ourselves to our Heavenly Mother and her intentions. As a result, we'll be doing things in accord with the will of our Blessed Mother instead of doing them according to our own ideas. It's sufficient that we think of this in a general way and with a simple glance of our soul to Our Lady, as children naturally, from time to time, cast a quick look in the direction of their mother. When we act by Mary, our spiritual life is completely dependent upon her. As slaves of love, we continue to ask for her guidance and assistance. For example, before we begin our prayers, we first renounce ourselves and the distractions of the world. Then we offer our prayers in union with Our Lady. As we perform the duties in our state and life, we strive to do them in the same spirit that Mary fulfilled her daily tasks. We must place ourselves as instruments in the hands of Mary that she may act in us and for us however she pleases, for the greater glory of her Son. St. Louis says that we can do this verbally or even mentally by saying, I renounce myself, I give myself to thee, my dear mother. In this way, we renounce our will, follow hers, and put ourselves completely in her hands. Even though we may not feel this union with Our Lady, since we're striving to habitually live by Mary, we must often renew our act of offering union with her, both during and after our actions. The more often we do so, St. Louis de Montfort says, the sooner we shall be sanctified and attain to union with Jesus, to which Mary leads us. We must perform our actions with Mary as a perfect model for imitation. That means that we should perform our daily duties as Our Lady has done them or would have done them had she been in our place. In this way, we imitate the virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our daily lives. Since it's very easy for us to know how Our Lady would have acted, we'll always strive to act as she would. As we renounce ourselves in all things, our goal is to do everything in Mary. In order to thoroughly understand this practice, we must increase our knowledge of the Blessed Virgin. If we're very pure, practice this devotion faithfully, and implore the aid of the Holy Ghost, we'll be able to enter into Mary's interior and adopt her feelings and views. As a result, her influence will penetrate us, and she will become to us, as it were, the atmosphere in the place in which we live. Living by, with, and in for Mary is a way of life, but it's a gradual process. Our progress is not dependent upon our feelings or spiritual consolation. We must try our best and leave the rest to our Heavenly Mother. As we faithfully strive to live our total consecration, we will be given special graces and insights, so that as a result, living by, with, in, and for Mary will become our habitual state. If we humbly submit ourselves to our Heavenly Mother, she will show us what she wants us to do. The more closely united to Our Lady, the closer will be our union with our Lord. In closing, you should not let the devil make you think that true devotion to our Blessed Mother is difficult or involved. Its simplicity is summed up in this following story. One day, shortly after a priest began preaching or teaching true devotion in his parish, a little Irish lady came to him and said, "I'm not much on reading all those books, but I listened to your talk and I don't find anything to be concerned about at all. Then I hear some people fussing away about not being sure and waiting and wondering. Now, Father, I'd just like to make the act of consecration." Father asked her what she knew about the act. And she replied, "Father, I give Our Lady everything. Everything I have, my body, my soul, all my exterior goods. Father, she ain't getting much. My interior goods, that is my prayers, my good works, and so forth. Then I do my best to do everything the way Our Lady would if she were in my shoes. Do you think I can make the act of consecration, Father?" "Yes," the priest told her. Our Lady must have been well pleased with her faith, desire, and determination. The little Irish lady had summed up true devotion beautifully. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.